All right, ladies and gentlemen, on a beautiful, cold Tuesday afternoon, welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show, sponsored by Robert Lewison and Healthmark Enterprises. We've got an awesome show today. One of our favorite attorneys who does a great job with our union community here in Philadelphia, Jim McElderew of McElderew, is going to be our featured guest. You know, Jim, we do everything we can to get Jim on the broadcast, you know, whenever we can. And he's a good, not only a great attorney, but I was introduced to Jim by my good friend, who's a labor leader for one of the SEPTA railroad unions. And a lot going on. Robin, you yourself know Jim pretty well.
I do. I've known him for years. And he's amazing.
You're darn right. So we're saying some good things here, Jim.
How you guys doing? It's good to be here.
Well, we love to have you. We're
is your head like exploding now, Jim?
Always like to hear some good things.
Well, I don't. Jim actually mailed me that entry at that opening.
I believe it.
Did I get it right, Jim?
Yeah, I think we word for word.
We got a great show for everybody here, and you know, it's COVID times. We're doing a show remotely. We've done so many remote shows that lots going on. Jim, tell our listeners a little bit. Remind them a little bit about, you know, yourself and the firm.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe, Robin. We have now 12 lawyers. We do everything from railroad litigation to trucking accidents, nursing home, medical malpractice, to QTAM, which is prosecuting fraud claims where companies, large companies, trying to fraud the United States government. It's a law that was put into place back when Lincoln was president, and it's an effective tool to make sure that the business community does not defraud the United States government, because we can all act as counsel on their behalf and prosecute the case. So yeah, we do everything, you know, personal injury, and we do the QTAM work.
And so handling work injuries is, you know, one of the things that you do in a very interesting area of the law. So the railroad workers' comp, what's the difference between that, Jim, and regular work comp?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, because not too many people understand and know it, and it's one of the hurdles that we have to overcome when we go in to court to try and prove our case, because a lot of people innately believe that there's only one compensation system in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and that is the workers' comp, and it's just not so. So back in the early 1900s, you know, if you've seen any of the TV shows that are on right now, there was a large immigrant population from China, from Ireland, from Germany, and, you know, they were employed by the railroad industry throughout the country, building the rails to connect the west and eastern parts of the United States. And the work practices, and, you know, if you've ever heard the term, you know, somebody got railroaded, that's not a coincidence. That you know, implies that you've gotten screwed by a railroad or by a big business. It's now taken on even bigger meanings. But basically what the federal government did was they enacted some unique laws for individuals who were employed, you know, by the railroad. And one of the reasons that the federal law came into place is one of the biggest obstacles early on is if you're out on the tracks and you're, say, I mean, even present day, you're between maybe Connecticut, New York, or New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, you could be working 30, 40 miles a track, or you could be, you know, a service provider on an Amtrak going from maybe Chicago to New York. And, you know, the accident happens, and, you know, by the time, you know, you're taken care of and people witness everything and people take down notes, you could be in three different states. So the question becomes, what states would apply? So a lot of times the companies, the railroads would get involved involved in all these jurisdictional issues, and you know, the employee, the injured employee, would be, you know, not be able to afford to be able to fight them on these jurisdictional issues. So the federal government came out with the what is called the Federal Employers Liability Act. And basically what that is, it's a statute that says that if a railroad is negligent or any of its employees, and that causes an injury, and that was caused either in whole or in part by the railroad or railroad employees' conduct, then you can collect. And not only can you collect past lost wages and future lost wages and future and past medical bills, but different than the workers' comp situation, you are entitled to get pain and suffering as well. But you do have to prove negligence. And the statute, it's a lesser version of maybe negligence that you might see for malpractice or nursing home, but you still have to prove that the railroad was somewhat at fault.
What if it's an accident and somebody trips, Jim? Like, say somebody's walking up a tracks, they trip over a bucket or something and break their ankle, and it's not really a negligent situation. Can they still get work comp?
No, their only remedy, and it's an exclusive remedy, is through the FBLA, the Federal Employers Liability Act. Now, if somebody, like I have many cases where, you know, different times of the day or night, maybe at dusk or dawn, or, you know, they trip over a wire that maybe is hanging, that hasn't been properly buried under the rocks or the ballast that are on the tracks. And if you can show that, then you can show that they were negligent, because they should know that their workers are going to be, you know, out on the tracks inspecting them, moving trains all sorts of day and night. So there are many ways to you know, to talk about the railroad's negligence, because they have a very significant duty to protect their employees and to keep them safe in a safe work environment.
Now, what? Let's talk about medical for a second. In regards to those particular types of clients, I know with, for example, a regular work comp case, the employers has a burden of, you know, they have to have, there's protocols they got to meet. They have to have the panel doctors listed on premises. They have to have a panel acknowledgement letter signed at the beginning of the job, and then again at the at the time of injury, for that employee to have to go to their panel doctor. If not, they can go to any doctor they like. What are the medical standards in regards to the federal?
So there's two ways to look at this. There's one is, what are the railroads obligated to do under the law, and then what generally happens. And under the law, the railroad is not absolutely mandated to pay for medical bills until they're found to be negligent. Now, the reason why that is, in all intents and purposes, not really what happens in your day-to-day practice, is these gentlemen and women that work on the railroad are all union workers. Mm-hmm. And unions have negotiated a very good health care package for all of the employees. There might be maybe even the very new employees on almost all the railroads I deal with get benefits from day one. So at the very least, they can go to their medical doctor and get treated by their medical doctor. Now, you know, some of these programs, as we all know, have deductibles and have, you know, co-pays, and, you know, especially if the man or woman is not working, you know, that's going to be tough to meet, especially if you're one of the newer employees. So a lot of what the railroads do, and the ones in this area, Amtrak, SEPTA, Conrail, Shared Assets, Folk Southern, New Jersey Transit, most of the Class 1 railroads have a medical department, and they will allow you to go to the doctors of your choice, and they will allow you to, you know, to bill or have direct payment from the railroads during the course of the treatment. Now, the problem with that is if you get into a disagreement as to whether an MRI is needed or whether or not a certain test is needed or certain prescriptions are needed, you know, that gives them a little bit of control over the situation. But the railroads generally want to get the medical records so they can assess you as you're going along. And as part of the kind of tacit agreement that you have is that they are able to get the updated medical records from the healthcare provider, and they will make sure that all the bills are paid. And generally, most of the doctors that do this feel like they're not getting, they're not getting compromised on their bills for the most part. Now, if there's a dispute over whether or not the guy really got injured or whether or not the injury was caused by a particular accident or somebody's over-treating, then they can put pressure on the employee to try and, go to a different doctor or get a second or third opinion.
And but so, go ahead, Jim.
No, a lot of those issues are governed by their collective bargaining agreements as well.
Robin, when you've worked with Jim's clients, tell me a little bit about that. Is it under obviously different circumstances than in related
yes.
to Jim's railroad clients? Is it a little different than normal?
I've been working with Jim for years, and
which is amazing because you're both no older than 30 years old. Mm-hmm. But that's not important right now.
usually these clients are very injured. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but we usually use their health insurance to get them treated, and usually they need surgical intervention and or an opinion, and we're always there to get them a therapy or whatever else they need.
Now, Robin's been great to work with. The times that depending on the location or the practice area,
right.
She's been terrific to be able to help us. Make sure that the clients are taken care of in a responsible and prompt fashion. And she's right there, at any, along the whole process, if there's any minor glitches that may occur, which happens in almost all cases. So she's there to help, and she's done a terrific job with my clients.
Yeah, I mean, it's we got our union program, and obviously you actually educated me in what, you do, and so having said that, it's I'm pretty knowledgeable about the regular comp, but obviously that's a specialized area, and we've had a number of injured workers that call us. I have one actually call me right now, to believe it or not. And having said that, what Robin does, what I love what she does, and is obviously I'll be talking to somebody and I'll only talk to them for like 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and it just takes a whole other skill set to be able to make sure somebody's compliant, at the same time making sure they have the right doctor and all those things. Typically, Robin, when you get an injured worker, what's your process? You get a call from Jim. You have a network of doctors. How do you choose the one that is right for the client? Does geographics have anything to do with it, or type of injury?
Yeah. Getting work from Jim is different than some of my other attorneys. He knows the case inside and out, and more times than not, they've been treating, and Jim needs something special. Am I correct, Jim?
Yeah, most of the time, they have their own healthcare professional.
Right.
They've been involved with treatment, and they're not getting certain parts of their treatment aren't getting recognized. And we need to get a different specialist involved, and getting top notch quality specialists that will not be, hindered by the fact that we're in litigation, and there might be some needs for them later on is difficult, because most doctors, and a lot of them, especially, they do not want to be involved in a litigation process, because it takes away to a certain extent from their medical practice, and they don't want to do it. So it's to
yes.
get top doctors to come in and get involved and be an advocate for your client, make sure that they're getting the right treatment, and making sure that they get the right paperwork done is difficult at times.
We usually, with Jim's cases, he he usually asks me to get the specialist, the orthopedic surgeon, the neurosurgeon. And the clients always have insurance. And, you know.
Does that help with the have insurance?
Yeah, obviously? I mean, it really is a pleasure because I don't have to worry that it's, you know, like in regular Pennsylvania workers' comp, it's a claim petition. This is something totally different, as Jim has explained. And a lot of times these clients start treating with their primary care doctors, as Jim can attest to, and they reach a plateau where they need to go further. And that's when we come in and we assist.
So we're going to pay some bills here, and then we're going to come back with Jim McElderry. We'll have more from the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show after the break.
Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with a top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients, Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better. Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now, more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563-1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises. Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car. Which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation. for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
They just told us right away that we're gonna house you, we're gonna feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show, sponsored by Robin Lewison and Healthmark Enterprises. Our guest is Jim McElderew, founder and partner at McElderew Young Law Firm. Certainly lots going on in the country, and one of the things that's been haunting us for the last year, Jim, is obviously COVID, and it's back, with a vengeance. How's that impacting the practice, and just an operational standpoint? Because I know you guys are representing clients and you're full steam ahead there, but how is it operationally?
So I guess I could tell you, starting back about 2.5 years ago, we're in Broad and Sampson, so we're right down the street from City Hall. And there was basically a water main break and caused an electrical outage in our building for over 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, we were somewhat on the cloud, but we were not, 100%. And we literally had, at certain points, had to walk up, 22 flights of steps to get to our office and back again.
Wow.
In order to make sure that we could take care of all our clients. So I made certain at that point in time that we put everything that we had on the cloud. We got all our employees top-notch laptops, and we've all been working remotely at this point. We have one gentleman who lives in the city who goes in. He opens up all the snail mail, makes sure that gets distributed to the right people. He does, our phone. He takes care of our phones and does all our checks and all our financial situation. So he's been great. But for the most part, everybody's working remotely. And we've been able to, and I think, operate even better than we were before. People are not spending hours commuting. So this is taking on a whole new situation, in terms of going forward and, the type of space that we're going to maybe move forward with later on. So I think it's been terrific. If we need to meet people, we have done it remotely. We have done it, in the office at times, but we've been very protective with masks and hand lotions and make sure that the windows are open in the conference room when we come together. So we are adapting and we've learned, and I think we're going to have a lot of positive benefits. We've had several of our people, regardless, have had COVID, but they've all done well and they're all healthy, and thank God for that.
And a lot of people have said that, with the law profession in general, technology is available that in many cases has made it possible for many of the specialties, including yours, to not skip a beat if you've gotten, if you got a tech savvy group like you do. And certainly it wasn't created, like you said, yours was a flood that you prepared yourself for. That obviously this was unforeseen, but at the end of the day, it made it possible for you and your team to be able to represent your clients without skipping a beat. Let's talk a little bit about COVID and COVID cases. Certainly if somebody's, you know, working and they contract COVID, and you know, SEPTA's had a lot of individuals. And I know you represent the railroad, but if somebody contracts a COVID, and is that a workers' comp situation, and are they eligible for benefits? If it turns into a long term,
you know, I don't want to. Yeah, Joe, I don't want to comment on the workers' comp situation because that's not my specialty. But from a railroad point of view. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple cases, and you know, just take SEPTA for example.
Sure.
Early on, they have trucks that are called six packs, which are basically, you know, pickup trucks, big pickup trucks with three seats in the front, three seats in the back. And you know, they've taken a position that all their white collar workers can work from home. It's overtaxed. My understanding is overtaxed their you know, computer system, their internet system, but all the white collar workers can work from home, but all the blue collar workers, the guys, the mechanics that are fixing the trains, the track workers that are making sure that the tracks and the ballast next to them are in safe operating committee, working order, and then you got the engineers and the conductors. And people that travel around the system make sure everything's working properly. Mm-hmm. They've taken a position that it's okay for three people to be in a truck at the same time.
Okay.
And you know how small that area is.
I was going to say.
So they've gone to great lengths to protect their white collar workers and not their blue collar workers. And so if somebody gets is in one of these six packs or, you know, and they're forced to have to travel with them. And, you know the incubation period, you don't know, everybody doesn't get sick right away or at all.
Sure.
And you can show that was how you got COVID, then sure. I think that you are in good shape to bring an FELA case. And we do have a couple that we've brought. So, we've had the same situation in nursing home. Well, you know, they have not taken the right protocols. I mean, you can't catch everyone, and there's going to be things that slip through, but with contact tracing and temperature tracing and, you know, people that, make sure that they wear masks at all times. And, if you do all that, you enforce it, you know, we all know that can save lives and it can save people from being, you know, significantly injured. And that's something that we can look into, and we certainly have in the past, and something that we're very, adept at in terms of analyzing it. But you have to show negligence on the part of the railroad.
Well, I think it's interesting, though, because you talk about, you know, three people driving in one of those trucks. And, you know, you're at work, you're bundled up, especially now. But even in the summer, you're sweating. Everybody's, it's not like you can be 6 feet apart in a truck for the most part. And so
you can't, not at all.
So the question is that a negligent situation that they put the workers in, the blue collar workers anyway, and if one of them contracts COVID in that situation from the other, would you call that negligent?
I would, yeah, I would, because a lot of these guys have their own cars they bring to the location, so they could certainly follow the truck out in their own cars. They're
sure.
Willing to do that. And they're not allowed to. So it does, a lot of what I've seen doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no kidding. And by the way, our good friend Mike Murphy, he just won another, I think, 3 years as a labor leader. I think they just had their election. So I was glad. I actually saw Mike about a month ago. Your name actually came up. As he always says, he said, Jim's a great guy. And so, and Mike's been doing, he's been a labor leader. I can't get him on the radio show though, Jim.
Well, maybe we can talk to him.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I would love to have you both on. I'll send him the podcast and I'm going to call him out on it because, you know, and then like he is he's at a loss for words, you know what I mean?
He's never at a loss for words, but, you know, understand Mike's position. Mike's a father, a grandfather.
Oh yeah.
He works full time for the railroad. Plus, in his spare time, he, he's got to take care of all the problems that
sure.
the union has. So he's a busy man.
No, he is. He's like a brother to me, though, so I'm going to put it differently, though, when I see him. But, yeah, I've been trying to get him on for a while. And then, you know what? I just thought of it. You and him together would be awesome. I'm going to make that happen. In fact, I'm going to say you asked if he could do it, but I'm going to just play this thing, right? We'll see how it goes. But you guys, at the firm, and we're talking to Jim McElderry of McElderry Young, you handle personal injury. Am I correct?
Yeah, we handle pretty much most types of personal injury cases, that could occur. We do a lot of medical malpractice, although, that's getting more and more difficult. But we do a lot of nursing home litigation. We do truck accidents as well, and a lot of the other transportation type of cases. So, we do pretty much everything.
And so, you mentioned... obviously, nursing home, that's a vulnerable population, to say the least, when things are good. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to just kind of delve into that for a second. During COVID, you have individuals that, you talk about, and I've done a couple shows on this, so, the typical... the bed sores that can be really horrendous. Now, who can actually witness them, Jim? What is the situation there? Because people's families can't go in, and a vulnerable population that obviously had issues before are, it's like they're, for lack of a better term, they're on the tracks. The train's coming.
The nursing home, there's various qualities of nursing homes, just like there's different types of union officials, different types of lawyers, different types of professionals. I mean, you get to have some that are really on top of things and do their best, and then you have issues where people are just there to make money and turn people out and not do the right thing. So
sure.
you're always, and what we're able to do as lawyers is to try and do that as best we can. But, if there's unfortunately a senior member that's in a nursing home that doesn't have all their cognitive abilities and they have issues, we will piece together what we can, with the evidence that we have. We are generally not there while things are going on. We are there after, everything goes south. And then we have to try and put the pieces back together again and do our investigation. And we have the professionals that care about what they do as both our paralegals and our attorneys that will do the best we can. But you're right. There are situations where the family members could take pictures of the wound and show the various stages and complaints that they've made. Those people are not there to be able to help us out with those cases. And it does hurt us a little bit in terms of proof, but once the injury is significant, it doesn't just go from 0 to 100 miles an hour without going through 10, 20, 30, 40. It can't get to be a 6-inch cubitus ulcer overnight. That's something that has to be misdiagnosed and delayed for many months.
That's incredible. Just thinking about that. You talk about, choosing money over lives in some cases, and I'm talking about just the bed sores alone are nurses, nursing homes up to date on PPE for the most part by now?
By now, I would say most of them are, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, back in February, March, everybody should have known about COVID at least by March.
Mm-hmm.
They should have had procedures and protocols. They should have had the right professionals in there. There should be make sure that the 95 mask and the glass visors they see people have and everybody should have been forced to do that. That's going to take care of our aging population. And unfortunately, very, very few of the nursing homes did that for a long while. And, when you look at the statistics and the graphs and you look at all the deaths that have taken place, I haven't looked at them recently, but the great majority of them are from
from our aging population in the healthcare.
Sure. And let's talk about somebody who's got, you know, who's in a motor vehicle accident, standard motor vehicle accident. Let's paint a picture. They're elderly. They're in a situation, obviously, where they got an injury. They have a case, and they're at high risk for COVID. I'll bring Robin into this also. What happens with the medical there? Jim, in regards to the case, I've heard attorneys say constantly, you know, no medical, no case. And I know, you know, there are people that are afraid to go to the doctors. I mean, in other words, they're choosing between their lives, their case, and their injury, which in many cases needs to be rehabilitated. How would you advise somebody in that situation?
Well, you know, probably one of the biggest issues that we have in Pennsylvania as opposed to some of the other surrounding states is the fact that there's a minimum amount of motor vehicle insurance that's required by law, and that's $5,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to go for an emergency room visit and get an MRI, that's going to take up $4,000 or $5,000. So how can you treat with that? And, you know, we have, as an organization of plaintiff's trial lawyers, and have tried to work it out along with the doctors groups to try and get those insurance limits raised, you know, or the requirements, even to $10,000 or perhaps $15,000 would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey has a whole different system.
Yeah.
And they, you know, but their system, although they have a lot more money, there's a lot more that you have to do to be able to access the medical insurance. So there's probably a middle ground that we could get to. And unfortunately, the legislature of, you know, Pennsylvania has not seen fit to make this a priority. So what happens in a lot of respects is people that are seriously injured, they don't have their own private insurance. They only have $5,000 of medical protection for their own insurance. And all the health care falls on the state to take care of through the Medicaid system. So, you know, on the one hand, they could probably, you know, do away with a lot of the responsibility for the state by making it.
Right. I mean, $5,000 is ridiculous.
It's crazy. And it's been $5,000 since 1980s. So it hasn't gone up for, and, you know, medical care has probably a hyper amount of insurance.
Absolutely. You know, and so, let me, Rob,
you know, and inflation. The inflation is crazy for medical insurance. So $5,000, you know, back in 1980 is, you know, and you take it 40 years later is like peanuts.
There's no cost of living increase. It's ridiculous.
Nothing.
Robin, when somebody, especially right now with during COVID, you get a call from Jim, and you go to, you know, you're dealing with a client, and they're afraid to go into any type of a therapy treatment. What other options do they have now?
We have telemedicine, and it can be used for a good portion of the case. But at some point, they have to be seen in person. I have patients getting telemedicine for therapy, a lot of the reevals, all of the psychology, psychiatry patients are getting telemedicine. Which is fine. That's probably the easiest.
Do most of your network professionals offer that?
They all the psychs that I deal with offer telemed. That is the preferred way of seeing a patient for psychological issues. Some of the orthopedists will do it, but I have some that will absolutely not. Most of my doctors will do it, especially for the reevals. I mean, it just makes sense. It's less of a footprint. Less of a footprint in the offices, and they can, you know, and don't forget, like I said last week, most of my doctors and physical therapy centers have stretched their hours, and they've rearranged their offices so that the patients can be six feet apart. For those offices, amazing.
And Jim, how does that work with for example, with the case, if they are in a situation where obviously they're elderly and they you know, they're hesitant to go into a therapy center. At the same time, they are getting the telemedicine. They are getting, you know, some treatment. Is that a suitable alternative in regards to a case?
You know, it's an interesting question. I'll tell you why I can't answer it. I mean, both you and I and Robin, we could probably sit there and say, you know, that under the circumstances with this pandemic that we're in the middle of, you know, it's more responsible not to go into a doctor's office and not be seen, you know, being, in an office with 10 or 12 or, you know, many other people. But unfortunately, we have, you know, one of the things that has been held up as a result of this is our ability to get cases to trial.
Right.
And without being able to get to trial, we're in a holding pattern in a lot of these cases because, you know, obviously the insurance companies, the railroads, the doctors, the hospitals, they know that we can't get them into a courtroom to have, you know, jury of their peers to assess their conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're reluctant to try and resolve the cases with us. So we have not tested out at all what a jury might think of telemedicine versus in life. But I have to figure that most people are reasonable. Most people understand the situation. But we don't know for certain.
Well, it's certainly, you know, it's a complicated situation. We are going to go to break and we're going to come back. We're going to have more with Jim McElderry from the Who's Who in Philly Labor show after the break.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with a top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients, Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better.
Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563-1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. Okay, I went through the practice sessions, I slept good, I feel good.
We will now begin the test. Please take out your pencils.
I got this.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you had the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help us get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show on WWDB 860 AM. We're sponsored by Robin Lewison, Healthmark Enterprises. Our guest is Jim McElderew of McElderew Young. We're having a great conversation. By the way, Jim, how's Eric doing?
Eric's good. Eric is, you know, his end of the business is the QTAM end, and he represents his, a couple of unions, so... He has his practice group. I have mine, and but he's doing well.
And Eric's a great friend, and I've had Wendell Young on. So when I ask Jim, I'm talking about Eric Young, his partner McElderew Young, and we've had Wendell on literally before the election like five times, and as you know, Wendell's one of the most passionate labor leaders across the state of PA and beyond, and somebody who represents literally 35,000 members, and so
he's very smart, very articulate. He's a terrific guy.
Well, and he gets and his dad before him, Wendell Young III, was a legendary labor leader, and has impacted countless workers, and they do an amazing job. By the way, we've talked about the PPE and the great job our unions have done for our workers. Jim, where did you you're very committed to labor. Talk to us about your labor your background and your commitment to the unions and the union workers.
You know, it's an interesting story. I was very young lawyer, probably 1 year out of law school, and I got my first phone call on a railroad case, and I had to tell him, you know, I'd get right back to him because I had never heard of the FVLA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up trying to educate myself. I took the case. We got involved, and, you know, pretty soon I was working for one of the locals, and then The international had a problem, and I got involved in that and did very well and won a case up in New York. Then I was asked to go out to Detroit, and we've got 55 jobs back up in Detroit in a hearing under the Three R's Act. And, you know, at that point in time, I started meeting all the other labor leaders like Mike Murphy. And actually, Mike was, I first met him and I didn't realize it. And he was on one of my juries before I even knew him. And, you know, years later, we made the connection because he talked about being on. And then he looked at me, and at the time, I had a mustache. I didn't have it when I first. And we figured it out, and it was pretty interesting. But so I started off, you know, from the, you know, the ground level, handling, you know, smaller cases. Did a couple labor arbitrations and had some success, and you know, just kept meeting people and introducing myself. And you know, as you can see, I talk a lot. So.
Well, you know, I mean, it's important because the one benefit labor has is that we have the opportunity at having the best representation. And certainly, I've told you before, Mike speaks incredibly highly of you and the firm. And that really says something because when it comes to labor, you know, those representations – you know, you're talking about a group that really can have who they want, and in fact, it hit Mike's reputation, and Mike has to run for office just like all labor leaders do, and you know, you're talking, you know, it depends on, so you know, a lot of times it depends on, you know, the people that he associates with and brings into the program, because, you know, every time somebody gets injured, you know, you're on the clock and you're representing a worker and, you know, the quality of your work speaks for itself, because certainly, you know, it's hard work those guys are doing on a daily basis. And, you know, we never, typically with labor, we're always procuring work and in the trenches in regards to, you know, what we do for a living and trying to obviously constantly scratch and claw and to keep our benefits and all those things. But, and no one ever thinks about getting hurt, but when the time, when it does happen, certainly, you know, it's great to have the opportunity at great representation. Let's kind of segue on. We got about 5 minutes left. Jim, if you would tell our listeners, give our listeners your contact information, should they, you know, should anybody, you know, want to contact you with the firm?
Sure. Our general number is 215-545-8800. I also have a cell phone that I operate with. It's 215-694-1267. It's one of the things that I hope separates me from most lawyers, that all my clients have that number. It's the same number that my four kids can get me and my wife. And so I'm pretty accessible. And if I can't get back to you right away, I'll text you and say, look, give me a half hour, if I'm in the middle of something, you know, I'll get to you by the end of the day. You know, you have to be accessible because these people are in a life-altering experience,
right,
a lot of times. And they have, you know, they may ask the same question five different times, five different ways. And, you know, you have to be able to give them the time to ask the questions and to make sure they understand the answers. Sometimes I don't have a answer that's going to satisfy 100% of the people 100% of the time. But knowing the law and knowing what you can do and what you can't do is important. And if, you know, if you're in a specialized area like mine, if you haven't done 1,000 cases, if you haven't tried cases, if you haven't, worked with the railroads or worked against the railroads or their lawyers, you could be behind the eight ball. So one of the things that I offer them is my cell phone, like I just gave you, and the ability to be able to contact me, you know, when they need to.
And when you're dealing with an individual, setting expectations, how important is that? Depending upon the situation, even if it's a motor vehicle accident or another type of personal injury, sometimes these things don't settle overnight, and it can be, and like you said, they're in a difficult situation. Setting expectations at the beginning important?
It is. I mean, you know,
the only thing you can do is work within the system that you're given and do the best that you can. And, you know, right now, especially with COVID, you know, everybody knows at this point, I mean, SEPTA filed a stay of all their cases. That was just lifted on Monday. I asked the court to be involved in any further extensions, and I was able to get the FELA cases exempted from any future stays. Mm-hmm. That was big. So you have to be able to tell people, look, they're not going to offer you real money on your case.
Sure.
I can probably get you an offer, maybe 50 or 60% of what the value is, but they're not going to offer you 100% because they don't have to.
Right.
And so you have to be able to tell people what the truth is and not try and sugarcoat it, not try and, you know, overtalk them, not try and, you know, not answer their question in a way.
Because eventually, you know, in other words, you know, you got to set them up for success, and it's going to be a 2-year-long process or a year long. You're going to be getting a lot of calls, so you might as well get it over with at the beginning.
It'll be 3 years, you know, especially now. With I had 3 cases that were going to trial in the springtime of 2020, and all 3 of them got pushed off.
Incredible. And so, I mean, you know, it's certainly, you know, it's you know, obviously a different times. Jim, obviously, we're ecstatic to have you, you know, as our featured guest on the program. It's always a pleasure to have you. And I'm going to do the best I can to get my buddy Mike Murphy and Jim McElder on the same broadcast. It's been a while since we had you. We're committed not to waiting that long again. So I want to thank you for being our guest, pal.
I really appreciate the time. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you, Jim. Take care and be safe.
Guys. And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. Our guest has been Jim McElder of the law firm of McElder Young. Our sponsor is Robin Lewison of Healthmark Enterprises. Robin, real quick, your contact information, the website.
Best number, 215-563-1315. Ask for me. And I will get right back to you.
All right. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. I'm Joe Dougherty. This has been the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. Thanks for listening.